I'm really delighted to have two special guests in the studio to talk about an exhibition that opened today. It's called Journeys of Enlightenment. Now, if you spend any time down in one of my favourite bits of Western Australia, down around the Southwest Capes, you'll come across things like Geographe and Freycinet, D'Entrecasteaux. It won't take you too long to work out. There's a fair influence from the French in our naval history, in our exploratory history. But really, it's a story that doesn't get told very often. There were some dramatic journeys, there were some tragic journeys, and the scientists and explorers who made those journeys are being celebrated and explained, I guess you could say, in this exhibition, Journeys of Enlightenment. Joining me in the studio, first of all, we have Director of Exhibition and Public Programs down at the Maritime Museum, Vicky Northey. Welcome, Vicky.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us. And the only Freycinet male descendant with us, a French naval petty officer, Henri de Freycinet, or Henri de Freycinet, I guess I should say. Welcome.
Hi, good evening.
Now, home for you is where?
Home is in Brittany, in France, in a small town called Quimper.
So Quimper in Brittany. Natives, the people of that area, the Bretons?
Le Breton, comes from via Bretagne and Brittany, all very Celtic region.
I want to come back to you in a little while, Henri, but Vicky, first of all, the French exploration of Terra Australis, it's not well known, is it?
It's probably not as well known in the eastern states as it is here because most of the French explorers spent a lot of time along the Western Australian coast, except for La Perouse, of course. So we probably have a closer connection to them than the eastern states. And, of course, there are so many French names along our coastline.
Indeed there are, and that's, as I say, that's where you get your first hint. What's the aim of the exhibition?
The exhibition is really to look at not just the explorers and the great expeditions they mounted, but also the science behind it. Enlightenment, of course, refers to the Age of Enlightenment, when it wasn't just thinking about striving for reason, but it was also about expanding science and knowledge. And these expeditions had lots of scientists and artists to actually record the new animals and plants and people that they met. So huge amounts of information was found when they came on these expeditions, which, of course, no one knew was here. And even more exciting, they actually took it back to France. So the Baudin expedition took back kangaroos, emus, black swans, as well as plants. So certainly a little bit of Australia has been in France for a couple of hundred years.
Henri, to take your story as one example, and then Vicky, I'd love you to tell us some of the other things that are other stories told in the exhibition. The famous Freycinet, as far as we're concerned here in WA, was your great-great-great-grandfather?
Yeah, that's about right. They are a great-grandfather, more or less.
Yes.
To be exactly precise, will be very difficult. But if you just allow me just to come back to what Vicky just said,
yes,
the expedition brought back a lot of specimens and material and documents, and it is actually until now one of the most prolific expedition that there has been, bringing so much material that some of them actually have not all been treated.
So there's still material in Paris.
There are still material
from
in Paris.
The Baudin expedition,
yeah,
which occurred in what year?
In 1800.
In the 1800s, and still not
well,
fully systematized.
Well, still not been really cared for.
Yeah,
they all been brought back to the Musée d'Histoire Naturelle, Muséum d'Histoire Naturelle.
So the Natural History Museum in Paris.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Paris, probably. Yeah. Now, in the case of your famous forebear, I think he's responsible for the charting work enabled, well, it's believed that enabled the first complete map of Australia.
Well, yes, that's correct. There were two brothers on the expedition. They were Louis-Claude and Louis-Henri de Saussure Freycinet. I'm direct descendant of Louis-Henri. Louis-Claude is the one who's mainly responsible for the chartering, for the work which has been done. And he went on to another expedition later on in 1817. But the two brothers embarked the Baudin expedition in 1800, and most of the Freycinet name that you would find on the Western Australian coastline are actually named by Louis-Claude, but are of the name of Louis-Henri. his brother.
I mean, it's a wonderful full name. I want you to... I'm not going to attempt it, but the full name, the...
Henri de Saulce de Freycinet.
That's it. De Saulce de Freycinet,
yes.
Yeah, well, my apologies for the French vowels. See, Italian's easier. It's all at the front of the mouth, you know. But with the French, there's a lot of practice in the vowel sounds to get them anything like. What brought him down here? Tell us the story of the brothers. What brought them here? Why on earth were they interested in Western Australia?
Well, the two brothers joined the Navy. Their father enrolled the Navy, and they both embraced a career in the French Navy. They had a very quick and early career, distinguishing themselves in a few battles against the British and the Portuguese in the Mediterranean. They went on fairly quickly to be recognized within the Navy as good upcoming officers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where their recruitment came in by Navy officials to put them on that first great big expedition.
And the interest in France generally down here, as you understand it, what was their interest in the possibility of a Southland?
As Vicky said, the expedition was very much scientifically orientated. That was the main purpose of the expedition. And the interest was to discover and also enhance the knowledge that people had of Terra Australis, which has been an ongoing myth in Europe for quite a few centuries. And the first expedition started very much early on, the search for the great land of the southern hemisphere.
This particular thing, obviously, with a family connection, but this thing has been of particular interest to you, hasn't it? This whole idea of those early explorers?
Yeah, it has really, because growing up as a young kid, my father really put a lot of emphasis on the Navy connection with the family. And when my father died 4 years ago, I ended up really without my real consentment.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Ended up having to look after the family archives, being the last one with my sister and my sister.
It fell to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether
you
liked it or not.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant. Yeah, sorry. And so...
No, your English is much better than my French.
well, I'm not sure about that. But so I ended up sort of looking very closely at the family archives. And suddenly, some of the bits and pieces of a history told by my father sort of came a bit more to light with the material. And that made a little bit more sense. So trying to make the connection and trying to make the connection again with Australia led the interest and the passion that I have now for the family history and the connection between Australia.
Didn't your family provide one of our first female explorers?
It has indeed. Louis Claude, the brother of my ancestor, of my direct ancestor, got married in 1815, if I'm correct, and got married to Rosemary Pinon, which ended up... Vicky will probably know the story a lot more than I do, but disguised herself, stowed herself as a young French lieutenant to embark on a journey with her husband in 1817. And that was quite something for a time.
No question of that. And that brings us back to you, Vicky, because as I understand it, two women explorers featured. One is Rose de Freycinet, the other one is Jean Barret.
Yes, she was on the Bougainville expedition, which was much earlier. And she was companion assistant to Philippe Commerson, who was the botanist, who was a leading botanist in France at the time. And he actually brought back lots of plants to France on that expedition. But also he actually found Bougainvillea, hence named after Bougainville.
Indeed.
So the story goes, they had been together for some time. Because the servants weren't in with all the other crew, they had their own compartment, so she didn't have to be with the men. So they could actually get away with it. So he brought her on board, disguised as a man, and in fact no one realised she was a man until they reached Tahiti.
And by then they wouldn't care.
Well, it's interesting, the Tahitians picked...
Very strange tradition down there.
they thought she was a transvestite and couldn't work out why the French had brought a transvestite with them.
When they had these beautiful Tahitian women.
And that's when it became clear that Bougainville had to be told what was going on. And
yes.
He appreciated that she had kept herself quite discreet through it. And they continued on the voyage. But when they got to Mauritius, it became clear that perhaps they should leave the ship, because if Bougainville got back to France, because it was against military regulations, that he might get in trouble, and they didn't want to do that.
Better for all concerned.
Better for all concerned. But certainly she assisted him greatly in his work and with the documentation, the collection of specimens. So she was a very important first explorer.
And some famous names have helped put this collection together, because you've actually been able to get material from the private collections of people like Kerry Stokes and Mary Louise Wordsworth.
That's correct. And Jock Clough and, of course, Peter Woods.
Yes. And Peter Woods, of course, I think isn't Peter the driving force in the Woodside Valley Foundation?
That's correct. That's correct.
Which is why we have Henry with us.
That's right.
Excellent stuff. Now, tell us what should we keep an eye out for when we get that. Now, you tell me the exhibition will run from today for 12 months.
That's right.
At the Maritime Museum in Fremantle.
Yes, at Victoria Quay.
Beautiful building to visit at any time. But what should we look out for? What are the gems, if you like?
Well, there's quite a few.
I would think so.
There are some, and I think there's something for everybody. There's some magnificent early maps and drawings. There's some of Louis Claude's for people to look at, especially of Shark Bay and Geograph Bay.
Mm-hmm.
There are some wonderful engravings and lithographs by the leading artists that were on the expeditions. So Lézeray, Saint-Saëns, Arago, they are absolutely magnificent.
Wow.
We also have some wonderful books, and these are the publications that came after these great journeys, and they're full of the most wonderful plates and maps of what these people saw as they went around the world. So they are another gem. But thanks to Peter Woods's collection, we also have some original letters that Rose wrote to her friend back in France.
Wow.
As well as some from Louis Claude. So, as well as some wonderful animals from the museum's scientific collections.
Excellent. Can I raise my hand?
Yes. It doesn't help much on radio.
Yeah.
It's worked in this occasion.
Am I right in saying that also some of these materials, some of these documents are actually never been seen by the public before?
Yes, that's right. This is the first time it's been in a public exhibition, so we're very excited to have access to these extremely rare and really illuminating letters and manuscripts and journals from these early expeditions.
Well, as I was mentioning to you both, we have family coming down from France at Christmas time, so I am sure that that'll be something we'll be including in the itinerary. We've got 12 months to enjoy this and to find out some of the story behind names like de Bougainville and La Pérouse, d'Entrecasteaux, Baudin, Freycinet, of course, Dervy. Help me with de Saint. You're going to have to pronounce this one.
De Saulce de Freycinet.
Yeah, no, but the other one is...
Saint-Alouane.
Ah, that's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. See, there's another one of those vowels.
Saint-Alouane, Kerguelen.
Saint-Alouane.
Yeah.
That's him. Another. So those are names that were synonymous with the founding of this country. And I guess the other point to make, actually, Vicky, is for them, it was the equivalent of taking a journey to Mars. I mean, it was, for the boats they had and the technology they had, it was a long way to go.
It was an extraordinarily long way to go.
And this coastline, a very treacherous one.
Very much. And we think that's why many ended up in Shark Bay, because it had been documented since Hartog's time as a safe anchorage.
Yes.
So people went there a lot. The same with King George Sound. They were safe anchorages. And when you've been travelling for 12 months to get somewhere, you want to go somewhere you know you're going to be able to get some water and be able to make repairs to your ship if you have to. And, of course, the scientists were very keen to get ashore and do some work. And Baudin apparently became a little impatient with the scientists, and they became very impatient with him because he wouldn't let them off everywhere they wanted to go. So there was a lot of friction on the Baudin expedition.
One can imagine that. Different aims.
And nowhere to go on a small boat.
Not many places to depressurize.
Few scientists actually disembarked in Mauritius before getting to Australia. Some of them never got to the end because they were so frustrated by the attitude of Baudin.
Right? Mm. Okay.
And there's a few of them disembarked there.
Yeah, he wasn't an easy chap to get on with.
No. So he was a bit like Bligh, the English commander, not the easiest man to be around, eh?
Yeah, it's probably
not. Yeah. Well, no, I'm not asking you to know about Bligh. We know about him, though. He was the mutiny on the Bounty and all that
The
Rum Rebellion in New South Wales. He, very peaceful sort of fellow.
Baudin definitely also had problems with Louis Claude, who was a very skilled and officer, and I think there was a few clashes there.
Yeah, there was clash with the scientists, but there was also clashes with the Navy officer. And you have to remember that Baudin was a very talented seaman, but was not, hadn't spent his lifetime as a French Navy officer. He was before that, he was working with the Austrian as a seaman for them.
The tale just keeps on unfolding, huh? Henry, we hope you we're delighted to have you with us. Thank you for coming into the studio tonight.
Well, thank you very much for having me here.
It's a pleasure. And Vicky, the exhibition on from now for 12 months.
That's exactly right.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.